My dear brothers and sisters, let us open our meeting this morning by singing hymn 201, to the second tune. Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him. Praise him, angels in the height. Sun and moon, rejoice before him. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Hymn 201. Let us now sing a hymn from the Psalms, hymn number six. For evildoers, fret thou not thyself unquietly, nor do thou envy bear to those that work iniquity. Hymn number 6. We're now very pleased to invite our Brother Stephen to exhort us from God's Word. Brother Stephen.
My dear brethren and sisters, in a couple of days' time in Matthew, we're going to read about a woman whose name we don't even know. We don't know her age, we don't know what she looked like, in fact we know nothing about her. But this is said of her: "Truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." She had anointed Christ. She was criticized by those around for wasting money, but she had put her master, Christ, first. What a wonderful thing to have said about one. Wouldn't it be absolutely marvellous if something that we had done in our life was recorded for all generations? Yes, Christ said it will be told continually in memory of her. And yet we have a contrast, actually, in the same chapter. Well-known words to all of you. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, "Before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. And that's recorded against Peter. So we have two different sorts of memory there, haven't we? One, a positive, a good memory of a loving act that she did for Christ. And Peter, who forgot those words of Christ. And actually, if we think about it and we are truly honest with ourselves on a Sunday morning like this, we're much more like Peter, aren't we? We often vow, maybe after an exhortation or on a Sunday morning where we are all together, to be more like Christ. And in fact, our brother mentioned that in his prayer, didn't he? How we try to be more like Christ but fail often. Yes, and by the end of the week, we failed. We've forgotten many of the things that we've read or thought about. And as we get older, our memories maybe even slowly seem to get worse. Although in my case, it's always been poor. I've never had a good memory for names or phone numbers or anything like that at all. So I want to think about memory and memorial this morning. Last year was probably a year when there were more memorials and memorial meetings than normal around the country, because it was the anniversary, wasn't it? The 100 years since the end of the First World War. And in fact, I noticed even as we drove locally here this morning, many of the large poppies are still tied to all the lampposts as one drives here. And even in our village, for the very first time, a new stone has appeared virtually opposite where we live, with the names of people on it who died in the war. And a new tree just up the road was planted in memory of a local councillor. And it was a horrendous time, wasn't it, 100 years ago, last year. So many millions died. 65 million were mobilised, 21 million, we're told, were wounded, and 8.5 million killed. Vast numbers, brethren and sisters, that we probably can't even understand. Lives changed forever, families changed forever by those events. And it's recorded, our nation owes a debt to its fallen heroes that can never be fully repaid, but we can honour their sacrifice. Well, we know, don't we, that each Sunday is a memorial day for us. It's a time, we're told, if you look up a dictionary, what a memorial day should all be about. It's a time to honour, it says, to reflect and to remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice. But I wonder, dear brothers and sisters, many of those who each year attend those memorial services and go along and see in the lane of those wreaths of poppies, do they actually know who they are remembering? We know little about them. There may be just names on that memorial. Don't actually know anything at all about them. The same as we don't know anything about that woman that Christ recorded, that her acts were done in memory of them. In Psalms we read these words, "For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks?" How true, dear brothers and sisters. While there's so many tombs, the unknown warrior. Yes, they're sort of remembered, but they're not really known. I often do a lot of research on ancestry about my own relatives, and many of those did indeed serve over the years in the armed forces. I know their names, I know what medals they got, what campaigns they went on, but I don't really know anything about them. Now Jesus asked all his followers to participate in this meal, the emblems before us, in remembrance of him, we're told. And I'm sure those words, dear brothers and sisters, if we really think about it, sounded as foreign to the Corinthians as they do maybe to many today. Because think about it. Those Corinthians were being asked to remember someone they'd never actually seen. They were being asked to remember someone they'd never actually talked with in person. How could they remember someone who they'd never listened to directly? And unlike us, dear brothers and sisters, they didn't have his written word in many cases, like we can read in the New Testament. Jesus never made it to Corinth. So the Christians there in Corinth had only ever heard of him. So wonder what they understood when Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Well, the Christians, the brothers and sisters at Corinth, had a lot of problems. We read that they were divided in their loyalty. We're told some of them liked Apollos better than Paul. A few of them favoured even Peter over Paul or Apollos. We're told they weren't sure what to do with the food that had been offered to idols. You know, was it safe to eat or not? And there was a problem, they were disputing about spiritual gifts. Some of them felt that some of the gifts were more important than others. And they even had problems, we're told, with the fellowship meal that we're having this morning. And some people got there early, we're told, to eat as much of the food as possible. And we're told even, sadly, that others drank too much wine and staggered home. So Paul was addressing this problem. He tells the Corinthians of a revelation he had from Jesus. Well-known words, but listen again to what he wrote. "For this is what the Lord himself said, and I pass it on to you just as I received it." And that's very important. Nothing was added and nothing was taken away. It was just as the one we're remembering said. "On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant between God and you, sealed by the shedding of my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it.'" It was not an option, dear brothers and sisters, but a command from our Master. So let's ask the question again. How do we remember, or how do you remember, someone you've never seen, never talked with, or listened to directly? We don't know what he looked like. The best way, dear brothers and sisters, is to discover the answer to this question, to maybe take a look at the symbols that Jesus used. His body, the bread, the blood, and the wine. But before we delve into these symbols, maybe the first thing we must remember is the context in which Jesus first used these words. It was the Passover, dear brothers and sisters. Jesus was celebrating the Passover feast with his disciples. And in a nutshell, the Passover, we know, was a meal which itself commemorated or remembered the deliverance of God's people out of Egypt. Every single type of food on the table had symbolic meaning, especially the roasted lamb. It reminded them of the lamb's blood that was smeared on the doorposts of the homes of the Hebrews so that the death angel would pass over them and enter only the homes of the Egyptians. So it was a meal looking back to remember. And the Passover meal was a ritual. And at that time, the children would often ask the father certain questions, and he would answer them by telling them about how God delivered them from Egypt and led them to the promised land. Yes, that Passover meal reminded them, was a memory of God's great salvation. So when Jesus began talking about the bread being his body and the wine being his blood, surely the disciples knew Jesus was giving a new meaning to this Passover meal. So let's look at what Jesus was actually asking us to remember, because that's fundamental to why we're here this morning. Well, the bread, we know, is the basic nourishment for life and food in general. And just before Moses' death, he delivered a series of messages that we have recorded in the book of Deuteronomy. He was preparing the Israelites to enter Canaan, the promised land. And he told them this, dear brothers and sisters, in Deuteronomy 8. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry, then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that the people need more than bread for their life. Real life comes by feeding on every word of God, one translation puts it. How true, dear brothers and sisters, we need to feed on the words of this book, the revelation from our Heavenly Father. And when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he quoted the last phrase of this verse to resist, we're told, the devil. Jesus hadn't eaten in 40 days and was hungry. We feel hungry, don't we, if we perhaps don't eat for 12 or 24 hours. Imagine how Jesus must have felt. Yet he knew what we either don't often or fail to remember, that God, in all circumstances, will supply all our needs, including food. So one thing we must remember is God's great provision in this meal before us. And more importantly, we remember that God's word is more important than the actual physical bread. God's word feeds our very innermost being, dear brothers and sisters, while bread, we know, feeds just the physical body. And doctors and psychologists are validating what Jesus and Moses knew thousands of years ago, that the health of our soul, our well-being, actually affects the health of our body. So if we are content by understanding the wonderful promises of God, it can too have, we know, a physical effect as well. So as we eat this bread this morning, we must remember to feed also ourselves on the true word of God. And then we come to the cup of wine. This was another important symbol in the Passover meal, dear brothers and sisters. The wine reminded the Israelites of two things: the blood that was shed every year to atone for their sins, and the blood of the lamb that saved them from death in Egypt. So Jesus again was making a startling statement. He equated for the first time the wine with his blood. He told them that his blood would seal a new covenant between God and his people. And then he told them to drink it. So as we do the same, do we remember that Jesus has paid that debt in a way that we can never pay? Do we remember that God so loved us so much that he actually allowed his beloved Son to die in our place? It's hard to imagine that sort of love, dear brothers and sisters, to allow your dearest Son to die for others. So what do you and I truly remember when we come to the Lord's table? Is it just something we do because it's routine? Something we do because it's a command, as we are told it is in Corinthians? Or do we try and get deep into the meaning of those symbols before us, to truly look back and remember that life and that sacrifice of our Master, to understand all that he did for us? It is amazing, dear brothers and sisters, but how easily to forget. And elsewhere in Scripture, dear brothers and sisters, we're given very good advice on remembrance. So let's just think about some of these verses. We read in Psalms, and we're reading Psalms at the moment, and we read many examples of this. It says, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Or again in another psalm, "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." We have to remember, dear brothers and sisters, our Heavenly Father, how holy he is, how wonderful he is. And the psalms that we're reading are full of examples of rejoicing and singing unto the Lord, as we've already done this morning. Yes, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Or again in Psalms, "But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations." Yes, God has been from everlasting to everlasting, dear brethren and sisters. And there have been those that have remembered him throughout all generations. Sadly, we're in a generation now where very few, in truth, remember him. But there are still a few, aren't there, dear brothers and sisters? So how true that verse is, that God does endure and will remember, or be remembered, unto all generations. In Isaiah, these words, "Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee." The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. Is that, dear brothers and sisters, a true description of each of us here this morning? Is it really and truly the desire of our heart and to the remembrance of God? So often, don't we get tied up in the things of this world. We leave here on a Sunday, we start going to work maybe, or doing our routines on a Monday to Friday. And it's so easy, isn't it, to forget. And yet we're told it has to be the desire of our soul, and we have to do it in remembrance of thee. In Malachi, these words, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. I like that verse, dear brothers and sisters. There's a book of remembrance for all those who feared the Lord and thought upon his name. And it's quite common, isn't it, dear brothers and sisters, when somebody famous dies, Princess Diana, the Leicester chairman and so on, that there's suddenly, they place a book of remembrance for, and we see the queues of people waiting to write their comments and put their name in those books. I often wonder what happens to those books after all those that they're probably put away, locked up somewhere, and there they sit. There's only one book of remembrance, dear brothers and sisters, that we should ever be worried about. It's the book of remembrance that is talked about in Malachi, isn't it? It's the book of remembrance with all those names that feared upon the Lord. That's the book of remembrance that each one of us here would love to have our name in, isn't it, dear brothers and sisters? But note, there's some other good advice in that. It says they feared the Lord and they spake often one to another. That's so important, dear brothers and sisters, to speak often one to another, not just on a Sunday. Let's have contact as often as we can. It's good advice, and it's those, we're told, that are in this book of remembrance. In the second of Timothy, we read these words, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Yes, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned love that is in thee. Again, wouldn't it be wonderful if that actually was the entry in that book of remembrance for each one of us. Our unfeigned love for the one we're remembering this morning and our Heavenly Father. The trouble is, dear brothers and sisters, we're human, don't we? We have human nature and we're very prone to forget. But fortunately, dear brothers and sisters, there is one who never forgets. In Genesis, we read these words, "And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." That's a covenant, dear brothers and sisters, between God and you and me. And we're told that God will never forget, that he will always remember his covenant between him and us. Yeah, God doesn't forget, dear brothers and sisters, how blessed we are. In Psalms, "I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember the wonders of old." And we can enjoy on a glorious day like this and see the glorious works of the Lord, surely. And we can also reflect and look back and remember those wonderful things that God has done. Again, in Psalms that we're reading at the moment, "He had made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." Yes, we need to remember the glory of God. And we need to remember how passionate and full of grace he is, indeed, in providing his Son for us. In Isaiah, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me." Yes, remember the former things of old. So we need to read and think again all of the Bible and remember the former things of old. And then in Luke, it just says, "And they remembered his words." Simple and short, dear brothers and sisters. But a lot implied in that, isn't it? "And they remembered his words." The question is, for us this morning, is Do we remember our Master's words? Those many examples we have, those many lessons, those many parables, all written and said by Christ for our benefit. So the question is, do we remember his words? So, dear brothers and sisters, Memorial Time is a Memorial Day, as such as this morning, is a time to honour, as we looked at. It's a time to reflect. And a time we're told to remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice. But our duty this morning, dear brothers and sisters, is to remember just the one, not many. The one who made that ultimate sacrifice, that he laid down his life for his friends. And the best thing of all, dear brothers and sisters, each one of us here this morning can be a friend of Jesus. But there was a caveat, wasn't there? If only do what he commanded us.
Let us now join together in the singing of hymn 288. Hymn 288. Loving shepherd of thy sheep, keep thy lambs in safety, keep. Nothing can thy power withstand, none can pluck them from thine hand. Hymn 288. Brother Alec is going to conclude with prayer this morning after we have sung together hymn number 275. Hymn 275. Begone unbelief, our Saviour is near, and for our relief will surely appear. The rough winds may wrestle, our God will perform. With Christ in the vessel, we smile at the storm. Hymn 275.